Welcome. Well, you are at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family. And we are so delighted that you have welcomed us into your home. We certainly would love to hear from you. So you can send us an email with a question or a comment to Jim and Joy at EWTN.com and check us out on Facebook. You can also listen to our show as a podcast, EWTN's Podcast Central at EWTN.com/radio/podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And I certainly enjoy listening to many podcasts and also ours. Today, we're going to be focusing on the Feast of the Exaltation of the Holy Cross, which is celebrated on September 14th. This feast day is a special opportunity for all of us to reflect on the cross, which is at the center of our faith. And it's not just a symbol, but it's a living testament to Christ's love, his sacrifice, and his victory over death. But what does it mean for us in how we live each day? How does it shape the way we love and the way we carry our own crosses? You know, Jesus didn't say, pick out your cross. He said, pick up your cross. We'll be exploring all of this and more with today's theme, which is, how does the Feast of the Exaltation of the Holy Cross impact your life, relationships, and service? Well, so much is happening on this day, right? We had the canonization of Pier Giorgio Frassati, right. Carlo Acutis. That all happened yesterday in Rome. Yeah. A great, great celebration for Pope Leo and for the whole church.
Nativity of our precious
Blessed
Mary.
Mother.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, I want to tell...
We had the family celebration.
We had the family celebration so much. You know, we sent our children... I'm a convert. We sent our children to Catholic school. And Matthew was his freshman year in Catholic high school, and he came out of the car, and I'm Protestant, Jim was still an Episcopal priest at that time, and Matt comes into the car and he says to me, I said, well, Matt, how was school today? And he said, well, Mom, it was the Blessed Mother's birthday. Now, I'm Protestant, and I don't understand this, but it's true, we protest Mary. I'm way over it, but there was a part of me that was very ugly in my soul. And I said to Matthew, oh, Matthew, how do they know it's the Blessed Mother's birthday? And Matthew said to me, Mom, what are you getting so angry about? He said, she had to have a birthday. And he was right. And it really helped me to examine my soul, like, where was this coming from, you know? And it was wrong. It was prideful. It was Protestant. It was ignorant. And I'm ashamed that that even lived inside
of
me.
How do you feel about
her now? Well, now, I love her. I just love the Blessed Mother. And so that's been a beautiful journey for me now that I'm a full-blown Catholic and love being Catholic.
We're going to take a break at this point. We look forward to hearing from you. We'll be right back. There's plenty more to come. Don't go away.
The Feast of the Exaltation of the Holy Cross impact your life, your relationships, and your service?
Well, we're going to that personal element in the cross of Christ, but of course, it goes back to the finding of remains of the cross of Christ in 320 by St. Helena, Constantine's mother. Mm-hmm. So she wanted to go, she wanted to find those remains. They did find remains of the Holy Cross. And this began, you know, exalting of the cross. Didn't begin it, but to have that concretely, very, very important. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we exalt the cross of Christ in our everyday lives. We should be exalting that, especially during the season of Lent.
Mm-hmm.
We have the actual exaltation of the cross of Christ where they bring in the crucifix of Jesus Christ, comes in. Behold the wood of the cross upon which the Prince of Glory died. We have so many songs. Lift high the cross, the cross of Christ, proclaim to all the earth, adore his sacred name. The Pentecostal area has a song, Lift Jesus higher. Lift Jesus higher. Mm-hmm. Lift him up for this world to see, because he said, if I be lifted up from the cross, I'll draw all men to me. Mm-hmm. Do you believe that? Does the cross of Jesus Christ draw you to him again and again and again? He could have saved us any way he wanted to save us. But he gave his life at the proper time. There were other times when people wanted to take his life, but Jesus said, nobody takes my life. I lay down my life. I lay down my life for my friends. You're my friends. Obey what you see. Obey what I'm telling you. That Jesus wasn't jumped by some gang and killed. He came to give his life a ransom, to pay the ransom for your life and for your soul. It's just so awesome. It makes me breathless to gaze upon the crucifix of Jesus Christ, to meditate upon this historical reality, the seven last words of Jesus upon the cross. We meditate upon that. Jesus saying, you know, woman, behold your son. Son, your mother, John and Mary together. Those that were gathered around the cross of Christ, actually there, hearing his voice, hearing the nailing of Christ to the cross, his suffering for how many hours he was there, his giving up of his spirit. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. It is finished, his work of redemption. And then the call of Christ to us, you know, to be crucified with him. St. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Are you crucified with Christ? Or do we just adore the cross for what he did? Or maybe we feel sentimental. Maybe we cry before the cross. But Jesus wants me to get up on the cross. Not to forgive my sins. He forgives my sins. But he says, you must deny yourself. Take up the cross and follow me. Daily, take up your cross. So we're just meditating upon this. And what does it mean for us to bear the cross of Christ, to love the cross of Christ, to unite ourselves, to say, Lord, conform me to the cross. Oh, that's a dangerous prayer. Having lived this long now, I'm saying, Lord, I don't want any unnecessary pain. You know what I mean? Like, and I don't want you to humble me, but yet I want to be like him. Mm-hmm. So humility comes, and it's painful sometimes. But we want to be conformed to Jesus upon the cross so that we could glorify him, so that other people might see the cross of Jesus Christ.
And the beautiful thing in our lives and on this journey, as we're all pilgrims on this journey, is, you know, when we go into a Catholic church, there will be a crucifix, and you will see the crucifix. And you and God alone, when you go into Mass or you go to do adoration, you know your sufferings in that day. You know the relationships. You know the things, the sin, the vices that you are trying to overcome, that only the power of the cross can come inside and aid you and assist you and guide you, even when it is the dark night of your own soul. You know, and the beautiful thing about being married in the Catholic Church is that you get married in front of a crucifix. Like, this is going to cost you your life. You need to die. You need to meditate on the Lord. And I say this all the time. Jim and I are married 48 years. Jim is making me holy. And I hope and pray to dear God I'm making him holy. And our goal in this marriage is to get each other to heaven, right? And the goal of our children, that's the destination, is heaven. And so you will have trials. You will have sufferings. You will have temptations in this world. Where are you going to go? You're going to go to the bottle. You're going to go to weed. You're going to go to a psychologist and be counseled out of something, when really you just need to die to yourself and you gaze upon the cross and you understand how you have to do that. You say, Jesus, I need courage. Jesus, I need faith. Jesus, I need hope. Whatever it is that you're needing, whatever gift of the Holy Spirit, whatever, he wants to aid you and guide you and empower you with it. It's like when you take your eyes off the cross and then you start thinking it's all about me or how I'm going to win this argument or how I'm going to state my case, whatever. No. Sometimes it's being silent. Sometimes he's saying, just pray. Sometimes it's wait. But we have to know how do we incorporate this? How do we incorporate the gift of contemplating on the cross and knowing the beauty of it is? And so, I mean, really, we're all dead. When we gave our life to Jesus, we died.
Well, we were baptized.
Right. Right. And, but the problem is we keep resurrecting ourselves. Yeah. And it's like, you know, as we do on a Lenten journey, the goal is more of Jesus and less of me. More of Jesus and less of me. And I hope by the end of my life, whenever that is, when the good Lord calls me home, that I hope that I look just like the way he wants me to look.
Yeah.
Right? And that's the conforming and the making and the breaking. But it's, something's got to give. And usually it's you and it's me that's got to give.
We have a quote here, St. Theodore the Studite. How precious the gift of the cross. How splendid to contemplate. In the cross, there is no mingling of good and evil, as in the tree of paradise. It is wholly beautiful to behold and good to taste. The fruit of this tree is not death, but life. Not darkness, but light. This tree does not cast us out of paradise, mm-hmm. but opens the way for our return. It's a beautiful, beautiful mm-hmm. quote there. It's just, it's incredible. So we contemplate the cross and we're just being, falling in love more fully with the Lord, but we've got to act. And I think we should always, like today, we work at a pregnancy medical center, right? We're called Her Choice Birmingham Women's Center. We have girls coming to us that are considering abortion. You know, we spoke to the staff today, I did. And I said, you know, we're gonna do a teaching on the exaltation of the cross of Christ. So we have Catholics and Protestants working there. And just like we do with seeking the face of the Lord in every relationship, it was like, keep the cross of Christ between you and mm-hmm. these people who are coming. Christ's mercy, Christ's love, Christ's care, Christ's hope, Christ's sacrifice. Are we doing that in our marriage? Are we doing that with our children? Are we doing that with people who are coming to seek abortions? That we would seek the cross, that we would place the cross before them. We would pray that they would see the cross mm-hmm. of Christ, that it is more blessed to give than to receive. That those who give up their lives will find their lives. But if you want to find your life, you're going to lose your life. And this culture, the church, our own lives are filled with such narcissism about ourselves. And so we have so much depression. Number one killer of teenage kids is suicide. Good Lord have mercy. Why? Because it's just filled with the self. And we need to encourage our young people and demonstrate before them to give your life away. To give your life away. And you find mm-hmm. your life because the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are continually not talking about themselves. They're giving their lives, the Father to the Son to the Father, the Holy Spirit to Jesus, Jesus to the Holy Spirit. They're all about others. That's the essence. We're made in the image and likeness of God. You know what that means? Give your life away. Die to this world, to the flesh, to the devil. Oh, Lord, help me.
And that's what the beautiful saints did, right?
Yeah.
Saint Carlo Acutis, and he said one of his quotes, and the Pope Leo quoted him, when it said, when you look at yourself, you get depressed. When you serve others, your life is a blessing. Mm. And he was a young man who learned that. And that is true. We always, it's the problem is with us is we're constantly navel gazing or we're doing self-talk. We need the word of God to wash over us. We need to look upon the cross to say, Jesus, how am I supposed to live? How am I supposed to love? How am I supposed to serve? Those are the ways we have to look to Jesus and be conformed, be formed more and more into his image. We need to be clay in his hand. We need to be docile, that he can mold us and make us into the beautiful people that he's designed us to be, the best version of us. I mean, I want to wake up every day and I want to be the best version of me. Do I fail? Yes. And that's when I could say, mea culpa, my fault, look what I've done. We have a quote. It says, in 1937, it was my parents' wedding, Norbert and Albina Onatis. They had to get special permission to marry on that day because it was the Feast of the Holy Cross, was a minor holy day. And they were married at a church in McKees Rocks, Pittsburgh.
We know McKees Rocks.
They were married 74 years. Dad died at the age of 97 on 10/9/2012, and Mom died at 95, less than 90 days later. to him, the hymn, "Lift High the Cross," always makes my eyes leak. And that's from Jennifer. How beautiful. Isn't that true? I mean, there are times when, you know, you hear a song and it's connected with a loved one that you love, or you know God is really speaking to you, and you could be at Mass and that song is just lifting you to heaven, and God and you are having a moment together.
Look at Jesus upon the cross and hear him say to you, whatever's going on in your life right now, come to me, all of you who travail, you are heavy laden, I will refresh you. Take my yoke upon your neck and learn from me, because I'm gentle and lowly of heart. You will find rest for your soul. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. But you have to come again and again. We have to come. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Don't go away.
Well, it was a weekend of celebrations in Rome this past weekend as we welcomed two new saints to the Catholic Church, St. Carlo Acutis and St. Pier Giorgio Frassati. To give us her report on this beautiful historical event in Rome, we're going to go straight to Joan Lewis. Joan?
Greetings from a jubilant Rome. Yesterday was one of those days when you wanted to say you had to be here. Of course, this is the Jubilee Year of Hope, and yesterday we had a jubilant sunsplash St. Peter's Square, where at least 80,000 faithful welcomed the Catholic Church's two new, young, wonderful saints, Carlo Acutis and Pier Giorgio Frassati. It was a day filled with many extraordinary things. One that really struck me yesterday, for the first time on the chair of Peter and Pope Leo, we have a Pope who's very tech-savvy, knows how to use the computer and internet and Twitter. And then we have the first millennial saint, Carlo Acutis, also very tech-savvy, who in fact created a website solely dedicated to Eucharistic miracles. What other extraordinary things? We had the parents of this young Saint Carlo here in the square, and his younger twin siblings, Francesca and Michele. Also present was Wanda Gavronska, the 100-year-old niece of Pier Giorgio Frassati. She's the daughter of Pier Giorgio's sister, Luciana. So an amazing day from start to finish. But the Pope seemed jubilant also. And in fact, even before his homily, he delivered some impromptu remarks. And he said, today is a day of great joy for us. And it's a blessing from the Lord and truly a gift of our faith that we want to share. And then he said, and by the way, folks, if after Holy Mass you have a little bit of patience, he said, I'm going to try and come in the square and visit you. So it was remarkable. But in his prepared homily, Pope Leo said, sometimes we portray saints as great figures, forgetting that for all of them, it began when, while still young, they said yes to God and gave themselves to him completely, keeping nothing for themselves. And it's in this setting, he said, that today we look to Saints Pier Giorgio Frassati and Carlo Acutis, a young man from the early 20th century and then a young saint from our own times. He said both were in love with Jesus and willing to give him everything. Pier Giorgio, said the Pope, a lover of mountain climbing and God's creation, bore witness to God with his joy of living and of being a Christian in prayer, friendship, and charity. Faith was not a private devotion, but it was dedicated by the gospel. And he dedicated himself also, devoted himself, to the poor and even to the ill. Now, of Carlo Acutis, Leo noted that he discovered Jesus in his family with his mom and dad, Andrea and Antonia, and then in school, and then, of course, in the church setting, with all the sacraments, with Eucharistic, Eucharistic adoration. Leo said, Carlo grew up naturally integrating prayer, sport, study, and charity in his days as a child and then as a young man. And here's some of the wonderful quotes that Leo gave us from Carlo. In front of the sun, you acquire a tan. In front of the Eucharist, you become a saint. And then sadness is looking at yourself. Happiness is looking at God. And then he quoted Carlo's words on the importance of frequent confession. The only thing we have to fear is sin. And he said people are so concerned with the beauty of their body that they forget to be concerned about the beauty of their soul. So Leo concluded with these words, really beautiful. Saints Pier Giorgio Frassati and Carlo Acutis are an invitation to all of us, especially to young people, not to squander our lives, but an invitation to direct our lives upwards and to make them masterpieces. If that isn't beautiful, I don't know what is. He said, these young saints encourage us with their words, not I but God, he quoted Carlo Acutis. This is the simple but winning formula of their holiness. On those beautiful words, what more can I say? Back to you.
Thank you so much, Joan, for that wonderful report. So very, very blessed and important. Be sure to join us on Wednesday when we have Kevin Wells, the author of The Hermit, The Priest Who Saved a Soul, a Marriage, and a Family, to speak with us about how a parish priest turned hermit saved his marriage. The book is incredible. And many of us are going to be able to relate to the crisis that was taking place and a priest who was really living in persona Christi that mm-hmm. ministered the gospel to this family. It's been wonderful to be with you this day. Remember, you're an important part of this EWTN family. You're never alone. You're always at home with Jim and Joy. Bye now.